ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नरं सैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तथो जयमुदीरयेत् नास्तात्रयेषु अवतरेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिभवति नैष्ठिकी.
We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, 17th text.
Yasmat
Priya
Apriya Yoga
Yoga
Janma
Yoga
Agnina
Sakala
Yonishu
Dayamana
Yuka Osudam Kat Abhi Yukam Atatiya Aham Uman Ramami Vada Me Tava Dasya Yoga Tasmat Priya Priya Yoga Sam Yoga Janma
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 Chokagnina Sakala Yoni Sudayamana
Chokagnina Sakala Yoni Sudayamana
Chokagnina Sakala Yoni Sudayamana Dukho shadam tadapi dukha matadiyaham
Dukho
shadam tadapi dukha matadiyaham Umam brahmam vadame tavadasya yogam
Umam brahmam vadame
Umam brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam
Umam brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam
Yasmat priya priya yoga sam yoga janma
Yasmat priya priya yoga sam yoga janma
Chokagni nasa kala yoni shudaya mana
Chokagni nasa kala yoni shudaya mana
Shadham tarapi dukha matadiyaham
Shadham tarapi dukha matadiyaham
Uman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam
Uman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam
Yasma priya priya viyoga sam yoga janma
Yasma priya priya viyoga sam yoga janma
Chokagni nasa kala yoni shudhaya mana Dukho shadham tadapi dukham atadiyaham Uman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam
Uman brahmami vadame
Because of which, because of existing in the material world, priya, pleasing, apriya, not pleasing,
viyoga,
by separation,
samyoga,
and combination,
janma,
whose birth, choka agnina, by the fire of lamentation, Sakala Yonishu in any type of body. Dayamana being burned. Dukha Oshadham remedial measures for miserable life. Tat that.
Abhi
also. Dukham suffering. Atat
one.
Atat
diya
by accepting the body as the self.
By accepting the body as the self.
Aham
I.
Bhuman O great one.
Brahmami.
Am wandering. Within the cycle of birth and death.
Pada.
Kindly instruct.
May.
Unto me.
Dava.
Your.
Dasya
yogam.
Activities of service.
Translation. O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. O Great One,
O Supreme Lord,
O Supreme Lord,
because of combination
with pleasing and displeasing circumstances,
and because of separation from them,
one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation.
Although there are many remedies
by which to get out of miserable life,
any such remedies in the material world
are more miserable than the miseries themselves.
Therefore, I think that the only remedy
is to engage in your service.
Kindly instruct me in such service.
Purport. Prahlad Maharaj aspired to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. After the death of his father, who was materially very opulent, Prahlad would have inherited his father's property, which extended throughout the world. But Prahlad Maharaj was not inclined to accept such material opulence, for whether one is in the heavenly or hellish planets, or is a rich or poor man's son, material conditions are everywhere. Therefore, no condition of life is at all pleasing. If one wants the uncontaminated pleasure of blissful life, he must engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Material opulence may be somewhat pleasing for the time being, but to come to that temporary pleasing condition, one must work extremely hard. When a poor man is rich, he may be better situated, but to come to that position, he had to accept many miseries. The fact is that in material life, whether one is miserable or happy, both conditions are miserable. If one actually wants happy, blissful life, one must become Krishna conscious and constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the real remedy. The entire world is under the illusion that people will be happy by advancing in materialistic measures to counteract the miseries of conditioned life. But this attempt will never be successful. Humanity must be trained to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. There can be no happiness in changing one's material conditions, for everywhere there is trouble and misery. Om Magyana Tvinandasya Gyananandana Salakaya Chaksurin Militam Vena Atasmai.
Sometimes even devotees are put into a miserable condition, or apparently miserable condition, just to set examples for how to deal with material miseries. Devaki, Dopadi, Prahlad Maharaj, and many, many others were put into adverse, the Pandavas were put into seemingly very miserable conditions. So we may wonder why devotees that engage in devotional service are put into such seemingly miserable conditions. Devaki attained her position after a great deal of austerity, many, many lifetimes of tapasya, penances, all types of austerity, to become the mother of Krishna. And when Krishna was
still just out of the womb, she was deprived of her son. So this is a very hellish condition for a mother who naturally is very attached to her child. Right from the very beginning, to lose her child, this is considered very miserable, very dangerous, very unhappy, not to be able to shelter a young child, what to speak of just having been born. And similarly, Draupadi was put in a very dangerous condition when the Kauravas tried to denude her in front of an assembly full of men, which is also considered a very extremely dangerous, miserable condition for a full-grown woman, married woman. And the Pandavas were divested of their kingdom. They were sent into exile. They had to live like beggars in the forest for many years. And so many attempts were there to kill them, to harass them. Prabhupada comments on these situations in one lecture in Mayapur, 1974. And he was saying how we think sometimes we're in miserable conditions and we don't know how to deal with them. We can remember how even Krishna's greatest devotees, Krishna's most intimate devotees, in fact, because they were appearing in the material world, were put into apparently miserable circumstances and had to grapple with them. They had to deal with them. And we understand from their activities that they transcended them. They were transcendental. So sometimes we may tend to lament that there's some retrograde conditions, difficulty that we have to face, and that somehow it's not fair, it's not right that we're dedicated 100% giving our lives to Krishna. How is it that we can experience these difficulties in the material world? But even the greatest devotees had to face the greatest dangers. And Krishna saved them in the end. They had to undergo difficulty for some time, but Krishna saved them. So, because they were stalwart devotees, they passed the test with flying colors. Draupadi cried out to Krishna in a completely surrendered way, just as Gajendra, when he was in a difficult condition. I think he was mentioned in one of these prior verses by Prahlad Maharaj, how he was crying out to Krishna in a completely helpless condition. And because he was feeling, only Krishna can help me, these material solutions will never suffice, as Prahlad is saying here. They will be worse than the miseries themselves. The supreme solution, the transcendental solution, Krishna, and he will protect me. So when Draupadi was completely helpless, Krishna miraculously saved her. There was no material solution. No one in the assembly, not even Bhishma, came to her rescue. So it seemed at that time that every last possible material solution to save her was gone. And at that time, she depended completely upon Krishna. And similarly, the Pandavas, they were greatly outnumbered. The conditions were very difficult for them. But Arjuna was confident. They had little huddles every evening of the 18 days of the war. Each night, there was a conference on the next day's battle strategy. So even though they were making so many strategies, and there was so much danger at every step, padam padam vipadam, that's one of the lessons of this verse, that there is danger in every condition, whether it's affluent or poverty-stricken, that Krishna always made them feel confident that he was there guiding them, sometimes giving them directly the strategy, how to go into the battle. But this was not like an ordinary war. In an ordinary war, the soldiers are never sure about what is going to happen. And they're very fearful from one moment to the next. Sometimes they're deserting. But their anxiety is stricken because they really don't know what the outcome of a war is going to be. But Arjuna, he was different because he knew what the outcome of the war was going to be. Krishna had assured him
had assured him a victory. So he was actually fighting on a transcendental platform. He wasn't ridden by material anxiety. This was a different type of anxiety. So sometimes Krishna, by his yoga maya potency, covers the devotee, and they forget, even his intimate devotee, his mother, was forgetting he was Krishna. Arjuna was forgetting he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing him as an intimate friend, so that Krishna could enjoy his lila with them. But Arjuna, he was very confident he was going to win the war. So even in this great trial of arms, he felt very confident and was able to pass the test because Krishna tested him. He gave him the ultimate test that you're going to have to go into this battle and fight with your relatives. Most also, abominable thing to do is to fight one's own relatives from a material point of view. But he was confident. Krishna had given him the ultimatum, so to speak. You can, at least he gave him the final choice. And Arjuna was confident that he could go into this battle. And all the Pandavas in the exile as well, they were confident that in the end Krishna would save them, because they had that intimate relationship with Krishna. Unless that confidence is there, then everything in the material world will simply lead to another problem, and every solution will lead to another problem. And every material solution to solve that problem will become a problem in and of itself. Prabhupada says this attempt will never be successful. And the whole situation, whether it's wartime or peacetime, it creates a hellish situation. People have been very upset that atomic energy was used in the war, in the Second World War. There was an atomic bomb. And so there was a big movement against, still is, they're trying to dismantle these weapons, even in peacetime. Or they're very upset that there's so much atomic energy being used to power the world, power energy, atomic energy. So this energy may be used for a good purpose or a bad purpose, or a seemingly good purpose or a seemingly material bad purpose. But every attempt to solve the situation just makes it worse. If it's being used for, there was a big movement to use this atomic energy instead of for bombs for peaceful purposes. But this has created even more problems. The contamination from the atomic power plants is creating even more fearful situation. It's contaminating the waters, contaminating the atmosphere. There's one atomic power plant built on the earthquake fault in California, near where maybe 1 hour from Los Angeles and San Diego. And everybody sees it when they drive up and down because there are big cooling towers right on the ocean, actually. So they say if there's even not a great earthquake, but even some semi-great earthquake, that this whole apparatus can become dismantled and it can release a huge amount of radioactivity into the ocean, into the air, and the whole city there of Los Angeles might have to evacuate, something like what happened with Chernobyl. So this was considered a very wonderful thing, that this horrible atomic energy that built all these horrendous bombs and caused so many millions of people to die and contaminate future generations, so on, radioactivity. We'll use it for peaceful purposes. Use it for energy, because we need more economic means of energy. And now, the means to dispose of the fallout from these things is gradually is being discovered that it is almost equally as dangerous. So there's danger at every step. Danger in war, danger in peace, little earthquake, and one of these things can cause millions of people to die from radioactivity. And of course there's many of them all over. I think in this country too they're promoting these types of things. And they can't dispose of the waste, all of this plutonium and other substances that are giving off great amounts of radiation. So similarly in the heavenly planets, where the standard of life is so far beyond our own conception here in the material world, there's also so much anxiety. Indra, the king of heaven, is always in anxiety, practically speaking, even though he's living so opulently. Hiranyakashipu suddenly takes over his kingdom. There's some wars coming up time and again between the demigods and the demons. So they're also in a fearful condition. Abrahma Bhuvanavaka. From the topmost planet down to the lowest, they're always in fearful condition. They're always in anxiety. People who are wealthy are always fearful. Margaret Thatcher is always fearful. Someone from the IRA is going to bomb her. The big industrialists like Maxwell or Murdoch, they're always fearful someone's going to kill them. Or I think it was Mr. Guinness, some relative was kidnapped recently from his family, and they pay millions of dollars. So there's no secure position. They have to spend, when the prince or somebody goes down in a motorcade down through London, they have to spend millions and millions and millions of pounds just on security for one day, for 4 hours. So even in the most popular and affluent condition, in this day and age especially, and of course in the heavenly planets there's always so much fear, so many wars and anxieties going on. The demigods are, even though they are demigods, they're fearful. They couldn't even go to see Lord Nrisimhadev. They were so fearful. They had to push a little 5-year-old boy up in front of them because they couldn't go before Lord Nrisimhadev. So their relationship even with Krishna is not like not like his intimate devotees, like Balarama. Only the devotees who are sent surrendered that are abhaya, but they are completely without fear. So Prabhupada was always extolling the virtues of Prahlad Maharaj, because he is completely fearless. So fearless that even falling through the air off the cliff, he wasn't disturbed. We can't imagine that condition. Falling through the air without a parachute, and he's without fear. What happens to the living being? He becomes completely fearful in such condition. And so in so many ways, under the elephant and in the snake bit and in the boiling oil and fire and in the arena full of demons, he was completely undisturbed. So that's beyond our imagination. What to speak of the time of death. But of course the devotee, as we saw in the life of Prabhupada, he's actually completely undisturbed. The anxiety that such pure devotees experience, that is completely on the transcendental platform. Pandavas apparently were in anxiety in the war, but that was on the transcendental platform. The gopis are in anxiety constantly, but that too is on the transcendental platform. That anxiety is completely spiritual because it's not based on envy. That crying of the gopis in separation, that is also blissful. It's completely spiritual bliss because it's in separation for Krishna on it. Way beyond the material platform, on the highest stage, this is on the Sudhasattva platform. So a devotee doesn't try to find a material solution or depend on material circumstances to bring him out of the material miseries. But he becomes completely dependent on Krishna, like Krishna's great devotee. As Prabhupada mentions here, for a materialist to get out of the material condition, he has to work very, very hard. Or one may even undergo many lifetimes of hard work to come to an opulent position. And the irony of it is that once he gets to that position, the anxiety level has not gone away. And it can also be taken away in an instant. It can be lost, as we see happen so much. So Prabhupada says, the entire world is under the illusion that people will be happy by advancing materialistic measures to counteract the miseries of conditional life. This attempt will never be successful. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that the only solution to all the problems, is the only shortage, he said, the only lacking was Krishna consciousness, it may have seemed, or may seem to materialists, to be very simplistic, a very simplistic solution to a vast and complicated network of problems. But actually it is the solution. The devotees of Krishna know that there is this great knot of materialism. And we can't untangle it. But it is entangled as if by magic, as soon as we engage in devotional service. It's like sometimes you have a knot maybe in a sacred thread or something. You spend a long, long time trying to take that out piece by piece. And that's the condition of the material world. It's so infinitely complex and entangling to try to undo the problems one by one. In fact, it's not possible, even though there's great effort spent trying to do that. So much effort is spent trying to solve social, political, and economic problems. There's so many billions of pounds spent in this program, so many billions of pounds spent in that program, and another, all separately trying to pull this part of the knot out and that part of the knot out. But a devotee, he knows that immediately this knot just begins to slacken and loosen. We have the personal experience. And projected onto the macrocosm, Prabhupada says, humanity must be trained to engage in transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. So as individually we can solve the problem, then the Krishna consciousness movement as a whole movement can solve the whole problem. We have that experience then, we have that confidence. So the purpose is to train everyone in devotional service. They can start from any point in time. From any place, just as Prabhupada said, if we pick up the Bhagavatam and read it, there's nectar, something sweet, no matter what side we start to eat it on. It's sweet everywhere. So devotional service is very sweet. And we can engage the whole world in devotional service. We just have to start somewhere. Someone has to start. They can offer a flower to Krishna. They can befriend a devotee. They can do some service for the Krishna consciousness movement. And then their devotional service begins. So we will stop here at 8:30. I'll read the verse again. Asmat priya priya yoga sam yoga janma shotagnina sakala yo nishudaya mana yukoshadham tadapi dukamatad dhyam dhyaham bhuman brahmami varame tavadasya yogam. O Great One, Supreme Lord, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. So, we have time for a few questions. I think we're running a little late. Maybe we have time for about 5 minutes. One question. Okay. Yes, Anjali.
If the solutions are all part of the Krishna consciousness.
If the solutions what?
What I understand from what you're saying is that the ultimate solution to any problem is increasing Krishna consciousness. But still, we do have problems in the world, and we do look for solutions. Is that not depending on Krishna, or are we getting a problem?
Of course, these problems are specifically material problems. When we speak of problems within the Krishna consciousness movement, we understand that this is the movement that is Krishna's movement. It's the Hare Krishna movement. It's actually Krishna's movement. And it was started by Prabhupada, who's Krishna's pure devotee and a great Mahabhagavat. So just as the Pandavas, they were having to work out among themselves strategies. Sometimes they had different ideas, and they had to thrash out what was the best thing to do to solve the problems they were facing. Sometimes even among themselves, they had to face problems and work them out. So that is the solution that Prabhupada gave us, how to depend on Krishna. We depend on Krishna by depending on his pure devotee and his instructions. And Prabhupada's instructions were that when we face some difficulties or problems, that we should sit down and discuss them threadbare. Those are Prabhupada's exact words. We should discuss them threadbare, which means that they might be discussed for a very, very long time until the threads are bare. So that's not a material solution. Because it's given directly by a pure devotee, it's actually a spiritual solution. That we're depending on Krishna. You've given us this direction to Srila Prabhupada's pure devotee. We're acting on those instructions, and we know that we'll come to the right solution by acting in that way. However, if we depend on some extraneous method, that is not that method, but something contrived, it may be a material solution, and then at that time we may somehow depend on something material. But if the impetus comes from association with devotees, consultation with devotees along these lines, then we can be confident that we'll arrive at the right solution. So, what time is that? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai.